Well, good afternoon, everyone. I hope that this Memorial Day weekend finds you well. This is Pastor Gary Smith, and this is my message to you for Sunday, May 24th. I think it is appropriate to take time, just a moment, to have some reflection on the sacrifices that men and women have given to us in the armed forces, the military, over the years to help keep us safe, and probably more so now than I can ever recall in my lifetime, the dedication of the all-volunteer Army, those who are willing to put the needs of this community, this country, ahead those of their own interest and safety of themselves and their families. And we commend both those in the military as well as their families who support them. But do take this time to remember those who've gone on before us, who have made the ultimate sacrifice. So let's take a moment and just silently reflect on that, please. I would invite you, and I will mention that starting next week, there'll be a PDF file available in most of my areas, whether it be on Facebook or whether it be on the website churchconsultants.com or garygsmith.net. If you'd like to bring down the call to worship, we'll start posting those as well, and there'll be more instructions next week as to how to do that. So I'd like to start with an opening prayer. Gracious God, we are ever so grateful to you for the gifts that you give us. In these times of uncertainty, use the strengths of your people and the faith of your people to bring a new meaning of hope and faith to those who are lost and searching, that they may too find their way back to you during this challenging times and find comfort and relief. So let's open our worship with statements of commitment and truth. We have gathered new followers and lifelong disciples, the powerful and the powerless, those who have too little and those who have too much. We have gathered, for we are one in Christ. We have come, seekers and skeptics, sinners and saints, the poor in spirit and rich in faith. We have come, for we are eager to hear God's word. We are here together. Let us glorify the one true God. And then I would invite you to pray as I read our prayer of confession, and then celebrate the pardon that Jesus Christ has given us through his death and resurrection. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you long for us to be one, just as you and the Father are one. But we gravitate toward those who think like us, behave like us, pray like us, because it's easier than looking beyond the difference to discover what is good and kind and faithful in those we call the other. Even in our houses of worship, we are slow to reach across the aisle to embrace siblings in faith with whom we hold little in common. In these times when we don't congregate so much personally together, we forget the needs of those who are frail and old or infirm, who think that the church has forgotten them because they don't understand that they can't worship, the people can't visit, and that old ways of doing things like telephone calls, handwritten notes, are a line of communication for those who are in fear. Forgive us, we pray, wash us in the waters of our baptism, so that with one mind we might continue the work you gave us to do. Now people hear the good news. Christ claims us. Christ prays for us. Christ grants us eternal life. Rejoice, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. And now, let us pray the prayer of illumination before we read and delve into the scripture. God Most High, reigning in glory, send down your spirit of wisdom to shine in your heavenly word, so that we may worship you with joy, continually blessing your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The scripture that I've chosen for today comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and God rest upon you. So bless the reading of his word. Alfred Menendez enlisted in the British Army in January 1916 at the tender age of 19. He was soon sent off to France to train to be a signaler. Signalers were responsible for signaling communications from the front lines back to the command position and vice versa. Often it involved laying down landlines, wires, in very dangerous enemy territory. And I know for some of you it's difficult to fathom this idea of having to have lines or cables or wires to connect one another. But in World War I, that was the case. And on October 12, 1917, Alfred faced his most daunting test yet. Hundreds of British soldiers had been charged with reclaiming the village, this small community, Polkapel, in Belgium, from the Germans. It was an important location from a strategic standpoint, and the Allied forces resolved to have it back under their command. The British troops attacked on a day that poured down with rain, suffering heavy losses. 158 men in Alfred's battalion alone suffered heavy losses, and 484 were killed, wounded, or missing in action. No one could locate the missing men as they were scattered across the mountains, waterlogged foxholes, and craters in the mud. Stuck in the middle of what was called no man's land, they were unable to communicate their positions back to their allies in the safe zone without being killed. When Alfred Menendez's commanding officer certainly did the job of running out to locate the positions of the surviving men and then reporting back to them, he volunteered for the job. And you know what? Miraculously, he survived. Located a number of survivors, enabling them to be rescued. It was an act that later won Alfred the Military Medal for Bravery. His actions became the inspiration of the film 1917. In an interview, writer director Sam Menendez explains the source of the film. I had a story that was a fragment told to me by my grandfather, who fought in the First World War. It's the story of a messenger who has a message to carry. Last Friday, the rain at our home in Kearney, Nebraska. The wind blew continuously. Rain and wind almost for nearly 24 hours. The wind was blowing so hard at times that the rain almost looked like it was coming down horizontally, blowing water through the seals, even, of one of the windows in our home. And you know, I thought about that. We like to think that we're secure and safe in our homes, but nature provided to me once again that day a reminder that we are vulnerable even in our safest of our sanctuaries. And I think sometimes we get a little too comfortable in our faith, much that same way. And in the same manner as it rained that 2 days, roughly, I was amazed by looking out the windows and watching things literally turn green before my eyes. I could swear I almost saw things growing in the garden, the leaves on the trees. And then after the rainfall, the noises of nature, the birds that were chirping and celebrating, and the worms and the insects and the dryness celebrating life, that through that storm, through all that terrible time, the benefits of that were rebirth, regeneration, growth, and joy. I think that in difficult times, especially what we've experienced lately, is a reminder that as Christians, we often think that God protects us in every way, every place, every time. Unfortunately, many people take this statement literally in the earthly sense rather than the spiritual sense that God is there to protect our soul and our promise of eternal life. I recently read and I've heard about pastors who are insisting that their congregations return to the church to worship because they are cowards and they'll go to hell and don't have faith in God if they don't show up at church. That fear overcomes the power that faith, and if their faith is so weak, then they're not a good Christian and they could go to hell. How awfully terrible. What a terrible message. Is it any wonder that people think that Christians are lunatics sometimes? God has provided us the gift of intelligence and knowledge and science to help keep us safe and healthy. We have a brain to develop common sense to make wise decisions. And thus, pastors who test God remind me of Matthew chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. And this is where Satan is taking Jesus around to tempt him. So Jesus said to Satan, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." He said to him, "Satan, be gone." Hear me well, people. Don't test God. It is Satan's lie to tempt in telling us that we can do anything because God won't let anything happen to us. Well, you know what? Satan lies. We have free will because God doesn't want a bunch of puppets or yes people. God wants us to make our choices based on our love and obedience to God. Now back to the story that I started out with today. Alfred Menendez answered the call of his superior and stepped out in faith to help others and survived when everyone else thought it was a suicide mission. I think that Alfred epitomizes the spirit of honor and sacrifice that we ought to be spending time this Memorial Day weekend remembering the two sacrifices, the true sacrifices of those who protect us, and really do so because of duty, honor, and courage. So in the midst of all the static and all the noise and all the craziness, let us keep in mind the focus that new opportunities are presented during this time for outreach and evangelism and sharing the good news of the gospel and satisfying the Great Commission to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth through electronic media, through mouth, through deeds, through words. And I would leave you with this suggestion that you take time today and tomorrow, Sunday and Monday, to remember those who have sacrificed for us. And do not sully their memories with references to challenges of local officials' edicts and closures of social distancing and all the things that the media would have us listen to. Focus on God. Focus on the love that God has given us. Remember that the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives within you. Make wise choices, trust in God, use common sense, and share the peace of Christ with all those that you encounter. Amen. I think it is fitting that we continue with an affirmation of faith today. So I'd ask you to pray along with me as I read so. New life in Christ takes shape in a community in which people know that God loves and accepts them in spite of what they are. They therefore accept themselves and love others, knowing that no one has any ground on which to stand except in God's grace. And now we offer our prayers through Christ, who lives and reigns forever, and prays in us and for us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Through Christ Jesus, we pray for the church. May we devote ourselves to prayer and praise. In the name of the risen and ascended Lord, calling on transforming gifts of the Spirit, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Through Christ, we pray for the earth. Rain down in abundance to restore the earth. Scatter all the enemies of life and wholeness. Transform desolate places into healthy homes. To smash the impact and the damage of the coronavirus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Through Christ, we pray for all the nations. All authority in heaven and on earth is yours. Establish your new realm of justice and peace so that you can provide all the knowledge of your goodness and glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Through Christ, we pray for this community. Keep us in solidarity with those who suffer. Deliver those who are facing fiery ordeals. Help them to remain strong, resisting evil. And we ask for those who are without work to be there to help them. Those who are in fear of losing their homes, their livelihoods, their children are struggling. Lord, in your mercy, wrap your loving arms of care and love around them and know that they are there, that you know that they are your children, and that they know that they are your children, and give them peace and strength and help fulfill their needs and guide the rest of us to be able to help them and find them and seek them out. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Through Christ, we pray for our loved ones. Show your loving care and deep compassion to those who are hurting, anxious, tested. Strengthen and support them. Restore their lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all power and glory, receive these prayers and continue your mighty work among us through Jesus Christ, our living Lord. As we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not bring us into the time of trial. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours forever. Amen. And now, may the love of the Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit abide with you forever. Alleluia. Go forth in Jesus' name, remembering his new commandment to love one another, just as he has loved us. Amen. And I hope that you enjoy the rest of your weekend. Remember to be that light in the darkness, to go out and shine a light on those who are looking and seeking and in despair, and share with them the hope that is Jesus Christ. Amen.